The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Okay, we let train y'all, don't we? Here we go. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you, and you should respond by saying, and also with you. Okay, you got that?
Yeah.
You ready? Let's try it one more time. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Oh, sounds so much better. thank you so much for doing that. Let us pray together as we have already begun our worship service, but let us pray for our invocation. In the power of the Spirit, we come to this place today knowing that we are justified by faith. Now, whether we understand what justification does to us or not is another conversation, but we know that we are justified, so let us, as justified people, worship you with all that we are, with every breath that we have, and every moment that we're in worship, and then let us take the worship and worship you this entire week. So thank you for bringing us to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please stand with us as we sing I Stand Amazed in the Presence.
How marvelous!
as you remain standing, please turn to page 881, the Apostles' Creed, and let us join together in this historic confession of the Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
Since I was a minute or two late, how's everybody doing? Is everybody good? Feeling good? Everybody happy, smiling, fine? You got to respond to that now. So yes, David, no, David. Everybody's good? Okay, just want to make sure that y'all are with us on that and doing well. Would ask you to spend time in prayer with us at this time, with the pastor prayer, the Lord's prayer, with a time of silent prayer before that. And then we will have our tithe and offering after that, and then a hymn, Blessed Assurance. And so let us follow that pattern and let us be in prayer together. Unless you want to turn it around the other way.
No.
Okay, good. Okay.
That's fine. Whatever's okay. There.
That's what's there. Let's be in prayer together. Oh, how marvelous. Oh, how wonderful. Our song should be that. For in the midst of the struggle and of the pain, in the midst of the doubt that we have, in the midst of trying to figure out where we go, and how we get there. In the midst of the struggles of the United Methodist Church as a whole, in each local congregation, and in all that is wrapped around our own family lives, as we know loved ones have passed away this week, as we know that there's people who are sick and struggling with life, our song should be, how marvelous and how wonderful. Well, in the midst of all those places, O Lord, you walk with us and you care for us. You grant us a peace, if we will accept it, that permeates our soul and changes us. You grant us a love that is so outstanding that it changes our very lives and changes how we see things. You grant us all these things. You love us before we know we needed love, and you love us after we've kind of figured it out. And you grant us more love. I pray this day for each one gathered in this sanctuary. and for those, oh Lord, who would be here but could not, that you would give them that peace, that you would give them that love, and that you would allow us to accept it and let it be part of our lives. So help us today. Help us today to accept the gift. Part of the gift that we have is the ability to be prayed for and to pray with people and to pray for people. Allow us this day to lift holy names for those that we are praying for and with, that we as a family can pray together as family.
Please remember our family.
Amen. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And let us pray the prayer that you taught your children, the apostles, when you said to them, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We'd like to ask our ushers to come forward this time, please. Gentlemen, let us pray together. You gave to us everything that you are. You died upon a cross, giving us your entire being that we could have everlasting life. Let us give no less to you this day. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Standing as we sing Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Words will be on the screen or it's 369.
Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine.
So, have you been touched by Jesus?
Amen.
Amen. So, I can see I'm going to have to come out there to y'all this morning. Amen. You've been touched by Jesus? Amen. Let us pray and then look at Romans chapter 5. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with us. Let us indeed hear the voice of God and be touched by the justification that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In His name we pray, amen. Romans chapter 5, either using the Bible that you brought with you or the one that you might find in the pew in front of you. Romans 5 verse 1, if you would stand for the reading of God's holy word if you are able to do so. Let us listen to these first 11 verses. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to his grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely than now that we have been justified by his blood, we will be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, we'll be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. So, prevenient grace says that we know our need for God even before we actually do know it, because the Holy Spirit teaches us of a need. We talked about that last week. Justification is another story, and you read it as we unfold the chapter by the very opening words, "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God." So we have to have faith to be justified. I want you to think through this and work through this. A faith speaks to something beyond sight. Jesus even says to the apostles that the one who follow after you will have greater faith than you because you believe seeing, they will believe without seeing ever before. They will believe without ever seeing me, without ever experiencing me in this human life. They will have faith, hence they will do greater things than you have because of that kind of faith. Well, faith that way leads us into a discussion of justification, but it leads us also into a conversation of peace within your soul. I think we get confused by the term peace. We expect at the time we accept Christ as Lord and Savior that the world around us and everything that we're involved in is going to be at peace. Have you ever been totally at peace in the world around you? Have you ever found that peacefulness that comes in that way that's so great that you don't worry about all the things that happen in your life and the lives around you? If I was to take a poll of the church, how many of y'all would consider yourself worriers? You worry about everything. Anybody here worry about stuff? The old saying, 95% of what you worry about never happens. The other 5% you can't do anything about. Well, that's a true statement, isn't it? That's the way life unfolds. That's what it is. But in understanding that, there's supposed to be inside of you a peacefulness that can only come from God. You should be at peace. When everything else is falling apart, you should be at peace. I think the youngest person in this room is my daughter, Gracie. Is that right? Is that the youngest person? Nobody else is young. Anybody else less younger than 12? Liam's Liam here? Where's Liam at? Is anybody? Liam, listen carefully, but don't listen to the next statement. Don't tell him not to listen right now. When the world's going to hell in a handbasket, now he can listen. You shouldn't be going there. Would you tell him not to listen to that one sentence and then listen from now on? I miss you, Liam. Come in. Hey, Liam, now I see you, brother. That's why I couldn't find you. And so look at the process here. When everything around you is in turmoil, you who have been justified should be at peace. So how many of us are actually at peace? You're peaceful. Nothing's bothering you. You're not worried about anything. Remember, you've been justified. So what's the conversation? Paul's trying to have a conversation. In 11 verses, he's trying to tell an entire story. And this is about 4 hours worth of sermons that I'm going to put in 20 minutes. Okay, so here we go. Hold on. So watch how this unfolds. Through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. Now, that's a sermon by itself. We're going to leave it alone. Start at verse 3 again. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings. Now, we all know some folk that every time you get together with them, you ask the fatal question, how you doing? And we got some folks who will now give you a litany of how they have been doing since they were born. And they will tell you everything that's went wrong, everything that's been sideways, all the stuff that is incorrect. They will give you this entire litany of stuff, and you will sit there and you will politely say, I have heard this story before, but you don't say it out loud. And you listen. Well, it's not that suffering they're talking about. Somebody in your own mind, now all of y'all in your own mind, list the following thing. How many things have you suffered for Christ? That's the conversation. Is the suffering for God this is talking about? What have we suffered for God? And remember, everything that we talk about being suffering is set up against Jesus Christ's suffering on the cross. So how much have we suffered? Now, Paul is going to talk about the fact he's been in prison, he's been beaten, there's all these things happening, he's done it, and he'll say it over and over again, I suffered for God this way. Now, what have we suffered for God? Because the suffering that he's talking about does this. Suffering for God produces endurance. I love to watch the Tour de France. I'm probably the only person in the room who likes to watch that. None of the rest of y'all even know it happened, probably. But I love to watch the Tour de France. It finished 2 weeks ago. And it is an endurance ride over many days over the mountains of France and other countries. And they have sometimes rides that take them as much as 15 miles up in a day over top of a mountain. Now, I love watching it because they do it in stages, of course, but in the doing of the stages, they have to ride as much sometimes as 110 miles a day over mountain terrain. Now, they got good paved roads most of the time because these are road bikes, but they're riding over mountain terrain, and they have to endure all the days of riding to be able to wear the yellow jersey each day to show they're the one who are leading the Tour de France. And the endurance that it takes to do that. Same thing if you're one of the runners and you love to run marathons. I can't even fathom doing a 26-mile marathon. That didn't even enter my brain to do that. But to produce endurance as the people of God, you have to be willing to run your race, do your path, do what you're called to do day after day after day after day and not give up. Now, how many of y'all know people who have just simply given up? Yep, we know people do that. They just give up. You've had members of this congregation who have just given up. You've got family members who have given up. Well, how do you give up the greatest gift of all time, Jesus Christ? You don't give up on God. So this is suffering for God that produces endurance. And endurance produces character. Character, my dad used to say, is what you do when nobody's watching. And he would say that to me over and over again. He would usually follow that by saying, anybody can do right when the boss has an eye on you. But doing right when you're alone, doing the correct thing when you're by yourself, treating people well when nobody you know is watching you, is character. Inside of each of us, we have a character. We have produced and are living a character. And many things evolve around that production. But we all have within us an inner being, an inner character that would define us when nobody else is watching. Because there's a secret here. It shouldn't be, but it's a secret, apparently. When you're by yourself and no one is within 50 miles of you, guess who's watching? God knows. God is with you. It is that how you act. So if you've learned to have endurance, if you've learned to walk through this process of suffering and having endurance for God, and then your character is formed and it's doing the right thing when nobody's watching. You learn the character of living. You learn the character of breathing and of life. It's being able to do those things when you and God are the only persons there. And God really does care how you act and your character. God cares and God understands what we go through. So it's that grappling with what does it mean to have that kind of character. See, this defines you. So the character, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Talked about peace a few minutes ago. It says this, and hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Watch it very carefully. If you have hope, you are a person who sees a future in your soul with God in this life and the life that is to come. It is to have hope. It is the opposite of being hopeless. I tell the story quite often of the little church that I had when I was a district superintendent. And we used to send young pastor after young pastor after young pastor to them because that's what everybody, they said they wanted. Well, they said they wanted it because that's what everybody else was saying they wanted. So they kept saying, we want a young pastor. And we kept sending to them. The pastor would last maybe 2 years. And the pastor would be begging to leave and the church would be begging for him to leave. It was not hard to decide. So finally I got with the little church and sat down. I said, okay, I've been here 5 years now and you're on your fourth pastor since I've been here. What is it you really want? One of the dear, sweet people spoke up and said, David, we really want somebody to help us die gracefully. I said, tell me, say that again and let me understand it. We want a pastor to help us die gracefully. So I sent them a pastor who was a real good pastor in the sense of pastoral care and loving people and caring for people. He couldn't grow anything. He never had. He'd been at it a long time. Everything he touched just kind of died gracefully. That's what they wanted. So he went there, and they were down to 11 people. And yet somebody left them a bunch of money so they could pay for a pastor. So they had their pastor and his 11, and he helped them die gracefully. At least that was the plan. There was no hope there. We got in there and started taking care of him, doing what he did. I mean, he didn't do anything different than what he normally did. And it took a burden off them of being cared for. And all of a sudden, they decided to do evangelism without having an evangelistic pastor. His sermons were boring. His visitation was great. As we used to say, he couldn't preach his way out of a wet paper bag. I mean, he was just—he would read his sermon, stand there. They'd be about 45 minutes long. And by the time everybody was done, everybody was sound asleep. And that was the way it worked. And that's how it was pretty bad. And yet after 1 year, they went from 11 to 23. On the second year, they went from 23 to 33. So I went to charge conference, and I said, y'all don't know how to die, do you? You haven't learned what it means to die well. And the little lady told me they wanted somebody to help. She said, well, David, we're trying. We're doing everything we can do to die. I said, well, what happened? She said, I don't know. I have no idea, because he's really not very good. And his sermons are really pretty bad. And he couldn't lead anything. But he visits well. I said, well, that's what you wanted. I said, what changed? He said, well, we decided that since we're being taken care of well, we'd like the community to be taken care of well. So we started inviting people to come in and be taken care of. And they started coming. He said, so what's happened is we got a bunch of old folk. Their average age was 63. It went up from 61. But they had a bunch of old folk who showed up and started being at church, and they loved each other, and they started being cared for each other, and they cared for each other, and all of a sudden they grew. She said, we have hope now. I said, well, you want me to change pastor? She said, oh, no. We like boring sermons. We want things to go long. We like it this way. And so I left him. He's still there. I've been gone 5 years. They're worshiping 63 now. They're about to be done worshiping many more because the community only has 100 in it. I mean, you know, they got half the community. See, for some reason, his care gave them hope, and it changed who they were. So see, there's not a pattern. There's not a way that this works absolute in any situation. It is for them, that's what they did. So in their dying, they found hope. Guess what? In Christ dying, guess what the church found? It found hope. It found reason. It found a way to go forward. It found God's blessings in it. We come to ourselves with that place. So this moves past that. We have all those things, and it gets down to the end. And I did not read the last sentence because I wanted you to hear it now. It started with, boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and it ended with this. I left it out on purpose. Through whom we have now received reconciliation. If you're justified in faith, you did not change before the justification happened. You changed at justification. But to be justified also means to be reconciled with God. Grafted in, some people say. You become children of God, some people say. There's ways to look at it, but there's a reconciliation in which you become part of the family of God again. Now, what you don't know is God's always chased after you. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is the prodigal son. And if you read that story, you read all the things the prodigal son goes through, and you get to the end, and he's in the pigsty, and he realizes he could eat better at the house because the story has such a great way of viewing things. You've got a Jewish person who has nothing to do with pigs feeding pigs. I mean, there's just this great story. He is at the bottom of everywhere he could be, and on his way home, I want you to watch the story. If you hadn't read it, go back and look at it again. On the way home, his father sees him. Instead of sitting at home and waiting on the son to come in and grovel to him, to ask forgiveness, to come back, what does the father do? The father runs to meet him. My friends, Jesus Christ on the cross and in a tomb and in sending the Holy Spirit runs to meet you. So that you are justified just as you are, you don't have to get better before justification. You are guilty of your sins, and those sins are forgiven just as you are, because that is how God comes and runs to you to reconcile you to God. That is how you are made whole through God, through the reconciliation of the Holy Spirit to you to make you one with God. You become family of God through the reconciliation. Now, here's the beauty of this. It really doesn't matter where you're at in your walk. Every one of us are in different places, but we're all reconciled through the Holy Spirit for eternal life with God. That is who we are. That is who you are. Now the question becomes, have you received that gift fully? And I can tell you how to find it, but it may not be comfortable. If you're not at peace, if your soul stays troubled over everything and you're always in that place, you still need to do work in your reconciliation with God. But if you can find an inner peace, now I'm not talking about anything around you, again, but the inner peace comes from God. Can you find that inner peace and let it change you fully and completely? That's what's been offered. Will you accept it and let the justification, just as you are, save your soul and be at peace with God through reconciliation? The only way to move on to sanctification is to get past this point, so you can fully move towards perfection. We offer this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please stand with us as we sing Grace Greater Than Our Sin.
And the altar is open if you would like to come and pray during this song. Thank you for being with us this morning. Thank you for coming and supporting God's church here at Rockwood. Both churches before y'all send their greetings and tell you that they are praying for you during worship and praying for you the rest of the day as we become family of God together in our churches. We praise God for all that we are doing in that, and we praise God for each of y'all. Now go in peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ go with you. May God's love overwhelm you. May we find justifying grace in every breath that we take. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.